It's a good thing to remember Jesus. Hallelujah. Who likes to say the name Jesus? See, the church should say the name Jesus more often. The world don't like the name Jesus. Oh no. They can say God and things like that, and they will. But Jesus, that's where the power is. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's what we're about today. We're going to remember Jesus through the Lord's Supper. This act of worship keeps our focus on the sacrifice of our Savior, but also on the power of the blood of the cross. You know what? Just, is there any good strong guys? And you bring that cross over next to me today. There we go. Let's get this out of the way. Let's just change the cosmetics for a minute or two so we can all see what a kind of cross looks like. It's not that cross, but it looks like a cross. That'll do fine. Yeah. There we go. Don't let that fall now, John. There you go. We can never forget how we got to where we are today. You hear this? We've all been in kind of different journeys, but we've got to this place today. And it's important we remember our journey. It's important we remember where we came from, because understand this, it wasn't our good works or some divine act of favoritism that got us here. No, sir. Scripture tells us that Jesus paid for our entrance into God's family through the blood. Scripture says he is the door. It's an open door that lies before every one of us. Today I want us just to consider and be thankful, if we can be, for the sacrifice for our sins as we receive the Lord's Supper this very day. I want to throw a scripture in and say a couple of things before we get here regarding the world we're living in today. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For the message of the cross," hear this now, "is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Did you hear that? Foolishness to the world. Paul speaks in Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, and says, talks of the offense of the cross. Now we understand, we see the cross in many graveyards, we see it on top of churches, we see it inside churches, we even see it as jewelry and fashion today, and that's all fair and well, but listen to this, do not be fooled by the use of images of the cross. The message, according to Scripture, of the cross is still offensive to the world. Glory to God. In fact, the truth of the cross actually causes people to lie about their sin. Are you hearing this? The cross seems so foolish to people. They lie and they claim that sin isn't really a problem. Really. Really. They think that if sin doesn't exist, there's no need for the cross or for a cross. They think if sin is not a horrid thing, the cross becomes invalid or unnecessary. In fact, the mere existence of the cross reveals the lie of those who deny sin in their own lives. Aren't you glad today that at the cross, Christ became sin for us? Aren't you glad at the cross that God dealt with sin? Aren't you glad the hymn writer sang, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And then it says, because of that now I am happy all the day at the cross. You see, it's difficult for people to admit sin. We don't like to do that. Many people simply deny the fact that they are sinners. Yes, they will admit, you'll hear them say, I am an imperfect people, I get things wrong. But they don't want to call their misdeeds by their real name, which is sin. Might sound old-fashioned today, but it's still as relevant as ever. Because that word sin, we don't like it, it affects us. It penetrates as it comes into our life. Many people will admit wrongdoing. You've heard this, they'll admit wrongdoing, then they'll add, by the way, Pastor, I'm not really a bad person. Oh, come on. Wakey, wakey. What do they mean by that statement? How does that address us and God and the church? See, many people admit these things, but here's the problem, that claim is made by the person who's maybe comparing themselves to Adolf Hitler or to Osama bin Laden. Can I say that? The measuring stick they use to judge themselves regarding this is an error. It's an error. The only one who mankind is measured by is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And He, according to Scripture, is perfect in all His ways. Now we are told in Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. If you want to know, listen to this now, if you want to know what God thinks of your sin, just look at Jesus. Look at Jesus dying for you on the cross at Calvary. There at Calvary, Jesus paid the price for my sins through the shedding of His perfect blood. Now listen to this. The person, hear me now, the person who denies sin in their lives is lying. Is that too harsh? The person who denies it is fibbing. Is that easier? Is telling lies. Worse than that, that person is rejecting the amazing sacrifice that Jesus poured out for my forgiveness and for your forgiveness. The only thing that could pay for the forgiveness of sins is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. That's it. Nothing else. There's no other way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the only way to Abba, the only way to Father. He is the door, and the door is swung wide for every single one who will choose to enter into the kingdom of God and live for Jesus with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, with all his strength. That's the way. This is the way, and God's called every one of us out of darkness to walk in His glorious light. And sometimes we deny the truth and we choose to buy in what works for me. And we're living in a society and a church set up today that's more interested in how I can live, how I can get by, and what faith looks like for me selfishly in my own life. But there's only one way. There's only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one door, there's only one time the gate will be swung wide, and for the believer, that time is now, and for the unbeliever, that time is also now. Will you enter into the way that God has got prepared for you? Listen to me now. Sins are not just mistakes. They reveal to us the sickness of our hearts, the human hearts. But Jesus, everyone say Jesus, aroma. Jesus came to offer healing for the disease, and the cross is the price. That is the price. The Lord's Supper reminds us of this important truth, but it also rejects the lies of men and women who still continue to deny their sin. Now, John 3:16, we know that is a verse that can be quoted by perhaps more people than any other verse in the Bible. But that verse in there reminds us that God's love is what sent Jesus to the cross for people, for sinners, just like you and I. Praise God. But here's the thing. Maybe, and I'll throw a maybe in here, maybe people reject the cross because they hate to admit they need the love of God. There's not a day I goes by, Pastor Robert, when I don't need His love. Because we live in a hate-filled society today, and there's a lack of compassion, and there's a lack of empathy, and there's a lack of love, and a lack of tolerance in our world today. And Jesus encompassed all these things in the cross and says, look guys, this is how much I love you. This is the greatness of my love for you. So maybe we don't like the idea of accepting that love, because accepting God's love in Christ actually means for you and I that we have to admit at some level that we are actually helpless without his love. And we are. We are. It's human nature from a young age to be independent. Our kids will say, hey, I can do it myself. I can get by myself. Even when we know they're not fully equipped, I have the skill set to do those particular things yet. Well, mankind, let me tell you, mankind is like this with God. Basically, those rejecting him are saying, I can do this myself. God, I don't need you. The fatal folly of life. I don't need you, God. When it comes to having a relationship with God, no one can do it by themselves. We can't get through this on our own. Now, Paul speaks up in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10, and we know it well. He says, for it is by... Hello, is anyone listening? Do you know your Bible? For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Scripture says, not by works, so that no one can boast. Praise God. Then it says, for we are God's handiwork. Oh, look around. You'll be surprised at that. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. And just what caused the Lord to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, we need to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Again, we know it. But because of his great love for us, that word great's important in there. It's not just his love for us, Stephen. No, sir. It's his great love for us. It's his massive love for us. It's his overwhelming love for us. It's his abounding love for us. It's the greatness of his love for us. I love it. I love his love. I'm going to get a song in it one week. It's going to call it Love, Love, Love. Has that been done? All you need is love. I'm going to write it. Someone wrote it already. God bless them. The wrong group. Because of his great love, which we get, we are the recipients of this amazing grace and love. Scripture says, who is rich in mercy made us alive. Are you alive today? Well, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. You should be a bouncing baby in the kingdom of God. Your belly should bubble every single day of your life with living water and living joy, because the hope we have is in him. And you know what that hope is? It's in here. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory, hallelujah. It goes on to say in there, God who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace, once again, you have been saved. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, dear church, waking up. We heard it last week. You've all fallen asleep through the week. Listen to this. It is God's great love that made it possible for you and I to know the forgiveness for sin, for us to have this one-on-one, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. At the cross, Jesus was taking the punishment that we deserve. And as we receive the Lord's Supper this morning, we are going to have to at some point reflect on just how much God loved you and still loves you. Because he does. Listen to me. Do not at any point ever take this salvation for granted. Are you hearing this? Do not at any point ever take this for granted. Without the cross, there was no eternity. Without the cross, there is no hope. Life becomes futile as it is right now for those who've chosen not to believe. The world rejects the cross because it signifies the world's greatest need, which is still forgiveness. And it remains forgiveness. You see, we who are saved, we adore the cross. We love the cross. We love the cross, the old rugged cross, because it signifies just how much God loves you and I and the price that was paid to forgive us our sins. Now, Paul again speaks in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and we read, and this is important for us today, I have been crucified with Christ. Wow. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Wow. But Christ lives in me. I no longer live, thank God. Thank God. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, Paul has said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, praise God. How strange. How strange it is for us today. We lose our life, but we gain a new life. Wonderful news. How, as the hymn says, how can it be? At the cross, Jesus took my place. At the cross, Jesus took your place. And listen to this, dear ones, today. When we sense, and we should, every one of us, we've got five senses, we should know about this. When we sense God's call to us, the drawing of the Holy Spirit bringing you and I to Jesus, we lay down the old man, the old life, and at that moment, we pick up the perfect life. Praise God. How do we do that? By receiving the gift of salvation. What happens is I die in him. I'm made alive in him. I have a new life in him. Christians have been born again. We have a new life. This new life is ours because of God's abundant grace and God's abundant mercy, hallelujah, which he displayed at Calvary when he died in our place. But that's not all. No, sir. That is not all. We are alive through his resurrection, praise God. Say resurrection. My salvation is inherited. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It will never fade away. It is not reserved by my works on earth, but reserved for me in heaven. Glory to God. And kept by the power of God. Listen, church, what an amazing Savior we have. Can you believe he did all this for you? Hello? Can you believe he did all of this for you? I'm saved a wee while, and sometimes I'm still amazed he did it for me. That's called amazing grace, by the way, what he did for you and for I. And yet at the same point, now this is important. We are required, every one of us who are born again by the Spirit of God, we are required in this new life to take up the cross of Christ and to follow him. To follow him means we walk every day out this new life, this abundant life. But listen to this. Jesus warned that all who followed him, that the world hated him. And so the problematic part of that for you and I is simple. If the world hated him, the world may actually hate those who choose to follow him and come after him. John 15:18 reads, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. We looked at this not long ago. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. It's perhaps said even more eloquently in the beautiful classic hymn, oh, that old rugged cross. So despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Then the next verse reads, to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true, praise God. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. Church, dear ones, the world despises the cross. But we, today amongst us, we have this new resurrection life, praise God. So we must, in our walk with Jesus, we must never ever be ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ. And this morning, right now, as we come to the Lord's table and Gabriella and the team will come back at this time to receive the bread and the cup. Why do we do this? We do this as a reminder, but also as a renewed commitment to always honor our Lord, to always honor our Savior. Church, today, we come right now to celebrate the Lord's Supper today because we have life, and we have life in its abundance, and we have life to the full. We celebrate because we do not believe the lies of the devil. We don't buy into that. We celebrate because we know and we have experienced the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us this morning? I need to throw this in before we go here. The bread and the cup are open to everyone. There's only one thing that disqualifies you from being part of this today, and that's that you've never said yes to Jesus. Romans says, if you believe, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. It's fairly simple. It's not difficult. It's difficult to live this life. But that is the moment. And so if you're here today and you have never even quoted or said that scripture from Romans chapter 10, we want to pause in the morning and give you a moment to contemplate what we've just heard about what Jesus has done for you. And what has brought you and how you got to this moment in your life, on your journey. We got here by grace. We got here by mercy. We got here by love. We got here by prayer. We got here because somebody spoke to us. Somebody cared enough to be honest with us. We got here through many different avenues of life. And we're here today. So if you've never truly, genuinely, sincerely confessed and repented of your sins and truly turned away from your wicked ways. And we're not saying your wicked ways were all terrible, but they're just under the banner of sin. And turned away and chose deliberately to live for Jesus. If you're amongst us today, would you ponder that? And maybe you have just not been living the Christian life over the last little while, and you need to pause in your day and consider where you are right now in Christ. Listen to me now. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. None. But there's a choice to be made, nonetheless. And there's a decision to be made. The cross has said it all. Jesus' sacrifice has said it all. Now it's really, what do you say about the cross? What do you say about Jesus? Do you fully and completely believe that he is the Son of God? That he is the Messiah? That he died and that he rose again? And that, glory to God, he's coming back for a people and a bride who are waiting for him. So let's pause, and we're going to sing, then we're going to break bread together as his church. Let me go one step further. If you're feeling really brave this morning and you want to make a decision, just come right up to me and say to me, that's good, that's the best way to do it. I want to live for Jesus. Let's just cut through the chase. He loves you today. You need to know that. He loves you today. You're not here. I think this is just the Holy Spirit saying, you're not here by coincidence this morning. We don't do coincidence. He doesn't do it. you're here because he knew you'd be here today. He's been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you. He's not going to pester you, pressurize you, put you in the corner. His Spirit will just draw you beautifully. He'll woo you to that place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like those who are serving to come and just stand in front of me today so I can serve you guys first.